Thank you for allowing us to slip off for a week, and had a great time. Colorado is a gorgeous, gorgeous state. I got there, I froze. Well, man had to buy a jacket. I mean, come on. But it was a wonderful time. I think in many ways a well-needed opportunity to get away. Got to do what I wanted to do, played a little golf in the mountains. That was fun. Worked on a cabin. That was more fun, but it is nice, and it was a joyful thing. Terrence was talking about reading out of the Psalms and spending time in Psalm 51. In preparation, John had let me know, and I really appreciate John filling in for me. That was a blessing to have him. It's always a blessing to have men of God in our church that can step up and do things. I'm always praising God about that. I'm always praising God for you ladies also. I don't know where we would be if we didn't have ladies that stepped up and did things like Friday. We had Leo Olson's funeral or his memorial service, the fixing of the meal, the preparation, the cleaning of the building, all the things that are so important, they did. And through the years, many of you have been right there and you've done all of those things. And I'm very thankful to the group that took on that responsibility, and they just did it. You know something? I found this to be real true too. They don't need me. All I needed was chicken after it was all done, you know, got to eat some of that food. But it was a blessing. Leo's service was great. This place, I'm telling you right now, was packed. There was not any empty chairs. I'm serious. This whole downstairs was packed with people. Why was that? I think a lot of it had to do with Nina. I mean, her love for Jesus and who she was. And Leo. Leo's a great guy. And I'm wearing his mantle. It says, love like Leo. I never was around him that he did not tell me that he loved me. Ever. I mean, when I first met him, that's what he said. Because he is different. He was different than most men. Most men cannot say that. I'm serious. They just don't. They don't. It's something that scares them. But it didn't scare him, and he shared that with people, and he was loved by very, very many people. And the biggest blessing out of that was 3 years before this day that we celebrate his memorial, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. So he was a man that had love in his heart. He didn't know where it all came from. And 3 years ago, he found out where it came from. It came from a fulfilling in his heart that God did a work that God and God alone can do. And so that was a great blessing, and I thank you all for participating and working to make sure that took place. And it was a joy. John left me with let me know that our Sunday school class, and I know some of you are not in that class, but for those that are in it, that I made it to chapter 40 in the great book of Isaiah, which happens to be one of my favorite chapters. And I wanted to speak some of that to you this morning because some of you are not in there. But it begins with comfort ye my people. All up to this point, the first 39 chapters, he speaks of his judgment. He speaks of the Babylonians coming. He says all these things. But what has been spoken in that day through Isaiah, God is speaking that to us today. And some of us are getting it and some of us are not getting it. When he speaks comfort, he is speaking it to the body of believers. When he makes the statement to us that I'm a keeper of souls, I am the one that's going to walk in your life, I am the one that makes the difference. You and I don't make the difference, he does. And we lose sight of that at times, trying to make ourselves into that person. And we're not, because he is. He is my everything. He is the provision for all things. Does he need cooperation? Yeah, he needs cooperation. And if you're smart, you cooperate. And if you walk like many people walk today, they don't cooperate. They think I've got to merit something. You have nothing to merit. You have nothing to give. I have nothing to give to him. All I have is to receive the blessings that he has. So I'm not going to preach my whole thing. I'm going to give to them in Sunday school here in a little bit. But I have a question for you today, and it's maybe more of a statement, but it's a question. Why are we afraid? I listen to people all the time. You know, one of the things I like to do, I sit in airports, and during the layovers that I was sitting in, like I watch people. And I watch little kids, and they take off from mom, and then all of a sudden they realize mom's not anywhere to be found in panic mode. Ah! And I'm going, it's okay. I caught one little girl, she was a sweetheart. And mom's over there busy with the 3-year-old, and this one's younger. And she's over there trying to get with the lady to get him on board and do all the buffet. And this little one's going, and I'm going, sashay yourself back over this way, honey. And mom looks up, and this one, she's a long ways away from where she was, in the middle of Denver Airport. And I said, I got her, and I said, come on. She goes, thank you. I said, don't worry. I like to keep an eye on little ones. We don't want them to wander off someplace, and we don't want some idiot getting a hold of them either. But I asked, in a question like that, and every mother's heart would be that way. Every dad's heart, a real dad's heart would be that way. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of things that might happen. But in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, Jesus makes a statement to his disciples. And it's a statement that I think every one of us could relate to. It's in the 23rd verse, beginning of verse 23. Jesus says that they're going out onto the Sea of Galilee. And he says, and when they were entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. That's a very smart thing. Disciples follow Jesus. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Wow. Waves are coming over the side. I've been with Richard a few times on a boat. I didn't go to sleep when the waves were coming over the side. No. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. They didn't figure out if he's in the boat, you're not going down. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, you've heard that word before. It's a word that we should be very familiar with. It's called fear. It's a word that it speaks to us all the time. It speaks to us in many, many ways. It speaks to us in times that we don't recognize it. And that word doesn't need any explanation. But for some reason, it needs explanation. For some reason, it cannot be contained in something as simple or some definition or some event. It just cannot be contained in that. Because every day, for some reason, it seems like there's a new fear that comes up in our lives. You get a little older and you think about some of the things that might happen to you. Probably won't happen to you, but you're going to be afraid of it anyway. You're going to think about it. Oh, I don't have a job anymore. I'm at that age. They downsized. They got rid of me. I was too old. They pushed me, kicked me to the curb. There's a slowdown in the economy. Duh. We've been seeing that for 3.5 years for sure. Oh, there's a flare-up in the Middle East. No kidding. We got more Generation Z people standing around there taking Hamas's side than they are the nation of Israel's side. It's okay to kill them off. They deserved it. You say, boy, you're getting awfully wound up. Don't leave me alone for a couple weeks. This is what you get. There's a downturn in what we call our economy. Yes, and it happens. There's a demented dictator out there, and he's getting nuclear arms. Hang on. Isn't Russia going to build a new nuclear plant in Iran? Read your news. Think about this stuff. There's a plague, and the number one plague is called terrorism. And we ought to be well-versed in that today. Actually, you know that word begins with terror? I wonder what that would mean. It means fear. It means things that we do not know. Do you have the fear of being sued for something? You ever had the fear of coming in last? You want to be the best, but you came in last? Talk to us guys that play golf. We know about that kind of stuff. Oh, you got the fear there's a mole on your back. And I'm not talking about with 4 feet. Little black thing, you know, that you're all scared about. There's an outbreak, and it's not COVID. Have you noticed it recently? We're getting past the COVID deal, even though they ask me that every time I walk in the doctor's office. Now it's a new outbreak of bird flu again. I don't know which bird. Could have been a canary. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. They just said bird flu, bird flu, bird flu. And I'm going to go, yeah, a bunch of turkeys maybe, but that's just my way I look at it. What did you do? I created a new investment plan. I'm going to be secure in what I have in that. Oh, I bought a new high-tech security system to put it on my home that nobody's going to get to me. I think we need a stronger military. Well, so do I, but what are we dependent on? What gives you the security to take you away from fear? I can tell you what most Americans find. It's called mood-altering drugs. We take more of those than any nation in the world. We're taking more of those right now than any generation that has been in this world, because we have all these things. You know, way back, almost 25 years ago, I was reading the American Medical Journal. I just happened to see this one little quote. They made this statement. This is what it said exactly. Ordinary children today are more fearful than the psychiatric patients were in the 1950s. What does that say to me? It talks to me about fear. It talks to me about something that is real. But the fear that I would want to speak to is something that should be spoken to every believer in Jesus Christ. If you have the fear, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough to get God's attention. Well, my friends, you can't. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. My God has supplied every need that I'd ever want for this world and all the way to eternity. I don't have to worry about any of those kind of things, because I know this: worry accomplishes nothing. Absolutely, positively, nothing at all. You say, well, I don't worry. Yeah, and the Easter Bunny will be along in a moment. Oh, it's not worry. It's anxiety. It's fear. It's a $3 word called trepidation. Put that in your vocabulary, people. Keep it along. It's a good thing to have when you get to college. Restlessness. Insecurity. Am I speaking it? Do you anybody know what all that means? You know what it really means? It simply means this. You are human. You're human. That's who we are. We're human. And it attacks us just like it attacks everybody in the world. Just because Jesus said that this is what's going on, I'm going to take care of you, didn't say that you weren't going to get wet in the middle of that boat. You're going to get waves and they're going to splash over you just like they splash over everybody if they happen to be in the boat. We're not those kind of people that everything comes up roses and everything's perfect in this little world. But it doesn't mean you're stupid either. It doesn't mean that you're demon-possessed. It does not mean that you're a failure. It just simply means that we're humans. And Christians battle anxiety, trepidation, fear, worry, whatever you want to talk about it, however you want to call it, whatever makes you feel better about yourself, you can call it whatever you like. I don't care. But I know that it happens because it happened to Jesus. Oh, Jim, you're not going to demean my Savior, are you? I'm not demeaning your Savior. I'm simply telling you what the Bible says about that He lived His own life. You say, well, I don't believe that. Do you ever read the Gospels? You ever spend time in the Garden of Gethsemane with Him? You ever hear the prayer that Jesus made, not once but three different times, that He said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, why do you think, what was that about? Anxiety. Can you not recall that if you read in Luke about sweat drops of blood that was coming from there because His heart was pounding so hard that blood was coming out of the pores and going down His face? Because He was looking at the very possibility of a cross and all the things that would take place because He had seen it before. And he would take upon himself the sins of the entire world. He'd take upon himself us. That's anxiety. But that's who Jesus was. But you know what the difference is between Jesus and you and I most of the time? It comes down, it's a very simple thing too. He took all of that and put it in the hands of the Father. He completed the mission that God had given him. He entrusted his heavenly Father with all the anxieties and all the fears and all the worries and all the unknown. He put it right back in the hands of the Father and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he followed through and did exactly what the Father said. Now, people, it's not a difficult concept. It's a very simplistic concept. But it's a concept that we sometimes miss. Was Jesus anxious? Yes, he was very anxious. But he didn't stay anxious. Did Jesus know what was happening? Yes, he definitely knew from the foundation of the world. He knew. But he didn't stay that way. You see, I'm going to use the term fear. Like I said, call it whatever you want to call it. I don't care. You're not preaching. I am. Fear is that big, oversized, rude happening in our lives that's unwilling to share the heart with happiness. It's just unwilling. And if you're in that boat today, how much happiness do you have? Can you be happy and afraid at the same time? I don't think so. I mean, can you think clearly about what you're supposed to be doing and you're afraid at the same time? People do the craziest things because they can't think scared, because fear has taken over their minds. It has filtrated their entire hearts. Can you be confident in who God is with fear overrunning your life? No, because fear is a big bully. My best friend in high school, well, really through school, was Butch Real. Many of you know Butch. Butch was 6 foot in the sixth grade. Now, and I know that's not unusual today, but it's way unusual back in that day. I mean, we just didn't grow 6 footers in the sixth grade. The boy had a beard. Sixth grader, shaving. Can you imagine? And Butch was a bully. Yeah, bigger than anybody. I've told you this before, but it's true. It is absolutely true. I love Butch all the time. But he was a bully. He was, Michael J. Fox. You know, that was the Back to the Future moment there with Biff. What good was Biff? Well, Biff would walk down the hallways and scare everybody because he's bigger than everybody. And he was dumb, unproductive. He was all of those things. He was rude. He was crude. He was every bit of this, brash, loudmouthed, all of those kind of things. Because he could get by with it. So what did he do? He instilled fear. Especially in smaller people. And that kind of fear, I can tell you this, fear never has saved a marriage. Fear has never saved a business. I don't care how much you sweat about it, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything in our lives. What does fear do? It herds us all up and puts us in a pen and pushes us into a prison and then slams the door behind us. That's what fear does. What did Jesus say to his disciples? What are you afraid of? I'm right here in the boat with you. Can you imagine a day, a life of faith and not fear? That's what he wanted for us. He wanted a day that, and a lifetime that said this, that no matter what comes, my reaction is not in fear, but in faith. I have faith in what God is going to do. Think about it. Envision that day. Push fear aside for a moment. Just envision that particular day. One day, absent of all the dread that might come into your life, that might take place in your family's life. Think about the fact, I'm not going to be rejected because my God loves me. All the problems that come my way, he's already got an answer for them. I just need to believe in what he is. Can you imagine a life without fear? Really? Come on. Can we? Can we imagine that God is able to deliver us from something that so plagues us every single day? And he says, yes, I can. That's why he asked in the 26th verse of that great chapter, why are you so afraid? What is it about this that makes you so afraid? The term in the Greek is seismos. We get that very thing that talks about earthquakes, you know, how you measure an earthquake with one of those meters, and that's what it's talking about. A tsunami in the sea, if you want to call it that right there. But I know this, it was only used two other times in the word. One was those times that took place right there in the 27th chapter of Matthew, talked about this very thing. It happened when Jesus was on the cross and the veil of the temple was rent. The earthquake came. Then it happened again, at his resurrection. You see, this is how God deals with things. He's saying to us, Jesus, come be with me, and disciples, follow me. They went and got into a boat. That's what the story says. That's what these events are all about. They get into the boat. Everybody's on board with Jesus at that time, and they're all getting soaked. Everybody's getting wet. I don't think it was a Saturday night shower. I just happened to think that there was a storm, and that's just what they have it. Did you ever think, as being a disciple of Christ, a follower, a believer, that you weren't going to get wet? You ever dreamed that nothing was ever going to happen, that we'd never sail rough seas, that we would never have strong winds in our face, that buffeted us about, that tore up things? What did Jesus say in the 16th chapter of John? But this, in the world you will have tribulation. That was what Jesus said. That was his promise to us right there. My friends, it's not about the absence of storms that take place in our lives, because storms sets us apart. What is it? How does it set us apart? Because we discovered someone within the storm that made the difference. And he spoke. And that's all that I need to hear today, the voice of Jesus saying it. The disciples were screaming, we're going down, this is all over. Jesus is dreaming. Isn't that great? I love that part. I didn't write that, I just copied it. I thought it was a good thing. The thunders roared, and Jesus snored. You see, there are a lot of more intelligent people than I am. He wasn't just dozing, he was sound asleep. He wasn't worried about the blasted storm. He wasn't worried about any one of those things. We're talking about first century fishermen. We're not talking about your wimp. We're not talking about the biggest, baddest marine you'd ever seen that charges the hill. We're not talking about anything other than that. This is Peter and John. And they're screaming, we're going to perish. We're going down in the ship. That's what fear does. And it's real. And it happens. And it happens to everybody. Because it erodes our confidence in what you're hanging on to. I'm just asking what you're hanging on to. You're hanging on to a promise that something great's going to happen for you? That this is all going to turn out this way or this way? Or are you hanging on to God's goodness and who he is? I don't need anything other than that. I may not have everything that the world says is great and grand and everything you should be thankful and everything's going to be great and what. No, but I got this. I got his goodness. I got a bunch of that right there. I can go to sleep at night. Margaret thinks I fall asleep at any time. Did I hear an amen? Who was that? Because I know this. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and the problem's still going to be there. She wakes up every morning, the problem's not there anymore. Do you know that? I've already got up and left. I know the fear releases a storm of doubts. I know that it does because I've lived through that. But I know this too. The more we give into it, the angrier we get. And our reactions show it. Is it the kind of reactions we want to stand before a holy God and show? No, we don't want to show that. We don't want to have it at all. when life begins to spin out of control, what do you grab onto? Your bank account? A promise? If it's not a promise of God, you're grabbing onto the wrong thing. Because only God, only Jesus Christ has the answer for your fears. Amen. Only Jesus can touch that oversized, rude, brash, loudmouth bully that we call fear. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I can control this. Yeah, show me how. I'm going on a diet. That ought to put a lot of fear in a lot of people right there. I am obsessive compulsive. I'm testimonying people. This is a testimony, okay? Oh, I'm going to trust in people. I'm not. I love people. I love you guys. But my faith is not in you. I have faith in the one who lives in you. A lot of faith. And I watch it in your lives and how it comes through. But the more insecure that we become, the meaner we become. And the meaner we become, the more we deny what God is saying to us. Because he does not give us a spirit of fear, but of confidence, of overcoming. That's what God gives us every time. One of the great preachers of back in the World War II era, Martin Niemöller, the great German pastor, one of the most famous of the German pastors of all, that he stood against Hitler. He stood against the Nazi. He stood against all of that. But you know, way back in 1933, long before the World War II started, he met Hitler. He was in a conference with Hitler. He would go, and he got, when he met Hitler, he remarked to his wife after the meeting, this is exactly what he said, "I discovered that Herr Hitler is a terribly frightened man." But you know that terribly frightened man? Talk about anger. He turned it into violence. He became a tyrant because he was so afraid in his heart. He was so afraid in his life. That's what he became. That's what fear does. It deadens us. It only brings back the negative side of life. It only points out the worst things. It never, ever points out the good things. It never brings us to Jesus. It always runs us away from Jesus. It always throws the storm clouds out. It always puts us in a storm. It always brings about all of those things. We forget what God has done. We forget what God has said. We forget the promises of God. Because fear just sucks it right out of you. Because we give in to that, knowing that our hearts and our lives are under the very bondage of fear, and we should be in the very grip of God's grace. Because that's what he has for us. Fear can fill the entire world, but it doesn't have to fill your heart. It doesn't have to fill me. I can stand away from that. I can do what he wrote to Timothy. Paul was great about it. He says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Man, fear can come knocking on the door. Hello? Don't unlock the door, please. Don't invite them in to have supper with you. Keep them at bay. Throw them out. Tell them nobody's home. Not interested. Can't do it. What did Jesus say? Simple thing. You know, all these things are simple, people, and you're not dumb people. He said, "Don't fear." Well, that was hard. So what should my focus be? One day at a time. I will commit my life one moment at a time into the hands that has no fear. I will put myself in him. I'll start today, and then tomorrow will take care of itself because the promise of God. I'm a boy. Okay, I still am. All right. 11-year-old. When I was a kid, Midwest, there was a show that came on. It came on Saturday nights, and I was really way past my bedtime, okay? Yeah. But that didn't mean anything. But my dad, every once in a while, let me see Nightmare Theater. And one particular time, he let me, I'm 11, and I'm an older brother, older sister, but we get together with the neighborhood kids, and that was back in the day you could do that, and you weren't afraid that the kids could be with kids, and it would be okay. And they're all sitting in this living room, and we're watching the TV, and yes, it was black and white. Do not comment on that. And it is, I'm Sammy Terry of the Nightmare Theater. Tonight's nightmare is Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. I'm glad I'd gone to the bathroom before that point. That's all I can say about that. Every night after that time, I swear, Wolfman was outside my window. You remember this old, yeah, I know you would remember, Mike. Golly, you're probably in your 20s by that time. No. You look, don't you remember that? Wolfman's up there and he's glaring in the window. You know, you remember that part? Oh, man, that scared me. And I was sitting there the whole time. I mean, scared and glad there's a bunch of people around me. Maybe they eat the bigger guy before they got the little guy. That was what my hopes were. But after that, night after night, I would dream about this. I'd wake up, and what would I do? I'd run right to my parents' room, and I'd wake up my dad. That was an unwise thing to do. But my dad, nope, got to give him this. He was big, and he was not a big man. He's much smaller than I am even today. But my dad would get up at that point, a superhuman hero, and he would walk me back towards my bedroom. Stop at the bathroom first. Don't want the boy to wake up again. And he would speak to me. You say, same dream, isn't it? The wolf man. He said, yeah, I kind of forget. But he would convince me he's not there. The moment he got up, the wolf man took a hike. He went to somebody else's neighborhood. He didn't stay at my neighborhood anymore. My mom and dad, sound asleep, always knew that my fears right there could only be addressed by their comfort. And they would comfort me. It's just like the storm that was taking place in the disciples' life. It wasn't Wolfman, it wasn't Frankenstein. It happened to be what Satan could bring, or happened to be some event that naturally takes place in our world today, a storm. But Jesus spoke the words that we all need. Now, what did I say to my parents? How in the world could you sleep when this is going on? And they'd always remind me, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? There's no monster. He's not in here. He's not looking in the window. Everything's fine. And that strong arm of my dad, or my mom, she did it many times, did all the things that I needed to give me comfort, to speak fear away from me. And all I could say is, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is Jesus? We're not talking about some fictitious wolf man, Frankenstein, any other monster you can dream up. What kind of man is this that can speak to the wind, can speak to a storm, can speak to waves, and they completely go calm? That's the very one that's speaking to us today. The one that says, you're borrowing fear on things that you should not be afraid of. Well, it's my life. All these things could take place. Well, I remember what he said. Jesus got up and he rebuked it and it went away. And Jesus can get up and rebuke it and it will go away. He silenced the waves with one word because that's who Jesus is. So why are we afraid? What is it if it's not getting our eyes off of Jesus? If it's our eyes are on the storm, if our eyes are on fear, if we're afraid of this or trepidation or anxiety or a restlessness or whatever, we cannot ignore those things. You should never ignore it. You should never ignore situations in your life just because, well, God will take care of it. Well, you know something? If I would have gone to my dad at 21 and said, I'm afraid of the woman, he'd kick my hind end up over my shoulders. Grow up. Who are you in Jesus Christ but a conqueror? We are victors. We're not victims.
Amen.
And God said, there are things that come into your life now. You take hold by the very grace that I put within you and the Holy Spirit that guides you. Don't just stand back and wait for the helicopter to come to rescue you off the top of the floating house that's going down the river. Get out when the time is to get out. Do what God has called you to do. I always go back to that. Step up. Be the person that God has saved us to be. Be the person that God wants us to be. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more valuable than sparrows. And God said, I take care of every sparrow. And he takes care of every one of us. Do you matter? You bet you matter. Are you his? Are you? If we're his, why are we not trusting him? He's bigger than any fear that we have. But you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I know this. It's nothing that you're going through that hasn't gone through before, that God has not had an answer for. And all he's asking us to do is to lay it upon him. The burden bearer is here. And his name is Jesus. And he's taken everything upon himself. We don't have to carry it. We don't have to deal with it. And you can tell the liar that Satan is just that. You're nothing but a liar. And our God is a great God. And he lives within me. Now, I'm not done with this message, but I'm going to be done with it for today. You're not insignificant. You're more than a sparrow. You're more than anything that people want to put you down, say you can't. Yes, you can. By God's grace, I am all things because God is everything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he will do that in your life every day. You have a fear, you have a fret, you have a restlessness, you have an insecurity, you have trepidation, you have unrealistic thoughts. Let God take those. Let Jesus be who Jesus is. He took it on the cross. He did it for all of us. And he did it thousands of years ago, and he did it hundreds of years before that through the prophet Isaiah when he said, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak you comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her. Why? Because it's come up before him, and I'm speaking comfort to you this morning. We are comforted in Christ, and nothing can take that away.